Hey y'all, welcome to Geek Freaks. I am Frank. Hold on, let me start again. Hold on, sorry. I just noticed that I misspelled Ruben. that was so fast. All right. All right, that threw me off real fast. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey y'all, welcome to Geek Freaks. I am Frank, and I'm here with Alan, Ruben, and Dave, creators of The Herald. How are y'all doing today?
Hey, I'm all right.
Alan is an all too familiar voice for us. Dave's been on the show in the past. Ruben, this is your first time. Let's start with Alan. We're going to be going over The Herald. Can you break down what The Herald is?
Yeah, it's a book. Awesome. Okay, go ahead and let's go to Dave now. Let's talk about her.
Dave, can you be of more use to us? Let's see if that happens.
Yeah, no. So the Herald was it's Ruben's brainchild. Mm-hmm. And it's a story that he already came to me about I don't want to give too much away, but it's a supernatural
western.
We'll give him a little taste. It's a mm-hmm. supernatural western mm-hmm. That involves a bounty hunter who is, I guess, just on a mission to retrieve something that was stolen. And we wanted this story to kind of expand through, you know, different times periods and just really just stretch what we can do with a story of this size.
Yeah. So then, Ruben, where did you get the idea for a time-wandering bounty hunter?
The idea came out of anything, like literally the air, like thin air. I didn't even have a plan for the book, honestly. I knew that I wanted to do a Western, and I knew that I wanted to do a Western with a cowboy, a horse, and a crow. But I do have a theme in my comic books, usually, which is a religious theme. And I try to implement a little bit of mythology in this book. And that's what you will find mostly.
Why attracted to the Western? I know you're from Europe. Why Western?
Dude, I think we've all grew up watching old Westerns. At least my grandpa used to roll those movies in the old TV a whole lot. So I just used to sit next by him and just see like Clint Eastwood shooting some bad guys, you know, bad-mouthing some people. And that's awesome, honestly. And I wanted to have a more artistic approach to a Western, create something a little bit out of the ordinary, if I can say that. And Herald came about.
Speaking of that, let's go a little bit into the art. We have a very clear art palette with the pinks and the oranges. Yeah. And then it shifts, of course, when we go to a different time period. Mm-hmm. Is that what your goal was, is to use different kind of color palettes for different time?
Exactly. So you can even establish correctly where you're at and you will see a whole lot of that throughout the book. So you can distinguish where you're at, what the situation is, and what it represents.
Okay. And then, Dave, let's go over to you. We have a lot of, like, the cawing from the crows and the dialogue that's both kind of Western, that person just kind of in our ears, and then also from our protagonist. How, as a letterer, are you trying to make this feel like it's an old Western?
Well, honestly, that's all Ruben's fault. Like he very much, he was just like, look, man, this is how I want it to look. If you can't do it, I'll just find someone else. That's just how he rolls.
It was not like that, but it was a little bit more.
It was exactly like that.
It was exactly like that. No, it was actually, no, but he did have a very specific look and feel that he had in mind for mm-hmm. this. And, you know, I think the book came out the better for it, honestly. It's very clean, very, very striking.
Yeah. You did a really wonderful job with the Greek scenes. Can you kind of explain what your choice was there?
Oh, just, you know, like there's always the thing in comics where, you know, you throw in the little brackets when mm-hmm. things like is translated from the original language or anything like that. And I was just like, well, you know, this doesn't really need to be translated for anyone. So let's just make it look more like it's like Greek, you know, speech.
Yeah. And it seems like it's almost chiseled words instead of spoken words at that point. Yeah. It reminds me of the Thor comics. Whenever you're reading a Thor comic, it goes to almost like fancy English whenever they're in mm-hmm. Asgard speaking. So it's a little bit different. Very good choice. Alan, let's go back to you. Clearly, at this point, you've made a few comic books and stuff like that.
Yeah, just a couple.
Yeah, why did you want to attach yourself to this one? And does it have any sort of, not connection, but were you inspired by some of your past works?
Yeah. So the reason why I wanted to be connected to this was just because I was bored.
Okay. That doesn't seem right, but all right, sure. Yeah. I mean, you've already got a few things you're dealing with.
Yeah, I had nothing else going on. No, so obviously I'm a I'm a big fan of Ruben, first and foremost. And just for Ruben to approach me to want to do something was awesome, because I've worked with Ruben on a couple covers for Grandma Chainsaw. And we've bounced around ideas before for some other stuff. And he did the art for a story that Brian Belando and myself worked on for Roseblood Manor. And it was just one of those, as soon as Ruben approached me with this, it was an immediate yes, because I'm a huge fan of mythology and theology. And this was just like, I don't know, like right up my alley. I just felt, you know, it felt right. It was one of those things.
Yeah. Roseblood Manor, Roseblood Manor is sort of the Avengers Endgame of this universe, where I feel like there's a bunch of creators that have touched that project that go on to create other things that I've interviewed. Like, oh yeah, I also did Roseblood. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like everyone has done that at some point.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about this main character? What's the drive? Why are they, first off, you know, I don't want to spoil anything. There's a lot of big spoilers there, but what's the drive for this character?
I think it's I love these types of characters. It's a bound by oath type character.
Okay.
And, you know, without giving away too much, that's kind of the big thing.
Yeah.
We wanted a character who, how do I explain this? I love the anti-hero in a lot of ways, and you don't know exactly why he's doing what he's doing, but you know it's for a cause that's bigger than he is. Or is he actually, you know, chained to fate, right?
Right.
So it's one of those situations where we wanted it to be kind of ambiguous, obviously, for at least the first issue.
What kind of challenges can we expect this character to face? Maybe Ruben, you might know this one too. I'm sure you do. What kind of challenges are we expecting him to seem? Because he seems unstoppable in this particular scenario, but I'm sure he's going to run into something.
So that's the fun part about it, because we are going to, most likely, and that's 100%. We're going to deliver the Ashkenov issue 2 along with this campaign. And that's where you will see a shift, most likely, on that specific department. And you will get to understand the correlation with the crow, with everything, and why they walk together, and even the reasoning for he being the way he is and what he is, actually. More like that. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And how do you make sure to differ this character from other Western characters or even other supernatural characters?
I don't know. Okay, so that's one tricky question, because that's the whole plot of it.
Okay, no problem. No problem at all.
but let's see, Alan, do you think we can explain that in some way that doesn't give...
Yeah, I'll explain this in a from a really pretentious creator sense.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
What makes this character so I don't want to say different from anything else. What makes this character special to us, and obviously this is a lot of credit for Ruben and his approach with it, is being forward thinking. Like Frank, you and I have talked about this before. You know, even as stupid as Grandma Chainsaw is, and as wacky as Horace is, I unfortunately still put a lot of thought behind it. and I want to make sure that the story's well delivered, and I want to make sure that when Dave goes to letter the book, he bitches at me as little as possible. So I always try to make sure at least the story's coherent, cohesive, and everything. And that's one thing about the Herald, is we're not flying by the seat of our pants on this thing. Like, the whole story's already been thought out. We're ready to go. We have the whole beats for the whole series. And, you know, this challenge for this book, and I love this, because how I'm used to doing it, I'm used to writing a script, and then I give it to the artist. Then the artist will go ahead and do that. Then it goes to Dave. But we're kind of switching steps around. And this is where we have to be proactive in our thinking. Because Ruben, I love you and I hate you for this, but he draws the book first and then Yeah, he draws and collars it. So no pressure. So he does it first because he has a specific idea and he's going off the story beats that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. And then he places it that way. And then we go back and write it. And,
exactly.
And it works. And I hate it. Because, you know, it's whenever he did it for the first one, because it's like we had 25 pages and he's like, here we go. And it's like, oh, my God, I was not expecting this.
Right.
Because he just dumped everything at one time.
Yeah. So, well, Dave, that's got to change your whole process quite a bit. How much are you working with Alan to try to make this story fit into the new limitations?
Not at all. I genuinely don't care what he does.
This is true.
Going Watchmen style, just a big block of dialogue. Like, it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if it doesn't fit, he gets yelled at, basically, is what happens. And like what he said about that earlier, that's 100% true. He tries to make me bitch at him as little as possible because he knows it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm liking this idea of Alan being the whipping boy and everybody just kind of being like, I'm mad again. Yeah. I'm just going to text Alan real quick.
Yeah.
And Dave's really mad at Ruben, but he just takes it out on me.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's that language barrier. He's not going to understand what I'm saying anyway.
Sure.
All right. So on your guys' Kickstarter page, you guys mentioned influences of like Clive Barker, Quentin Tarantino, the spaghetti westerns. I mean, boy, spaghetti westerns. You mentioned that earlier, Ruben, with like some of those Clint Eastwoods. What from those is brought into this? I know just outside of just the cowboy, but there's something else there, that Lone Ranger. Ruben, what other things are you pulling from those inspirations?
So, okay, one thing that I can say is that this first book, I wanted to implement the classic bar fight, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I always wanted to draw. I don't know what attracted me to that, but that was a fun thing. So that little town in the middle of nowhere where there is a bar with regulars and an outsider just comes in. And of course, there's going to be some friction. And that's what I wanted to explore. And it's these types of little things that come from those types of movies mm-hmm. that I want to explore and take to another level.
That another level is very important. And I don't want to spoil anything. It's a very big turn in the book. That is such a fun turn. Actually, I'm trying to kind of put it into words. It's so cool. When you're making that, how are you pacing out the pages? Are you trying to make sure that the reader is feeling that moment before the turn happens? Or are you trying to make it to where like, boom, turn the page, all of a sudden, surprise. How are you pacing that out?
It's super organic. I try to see it like a movie. So if the shot works, if the shot's good and if it's pretty, I'll use it, you know, and I'll go about that. If it sounds organic, if it looks organic, and if it's not, how should I say it? I just go about it. That's why Alan doesn't like me because I just go around because this book is super unorthodox, dude. I just go around and do it. It's just that.
You feel what you're saying though. You feel the cinematic, just
The
tempo, everything feels very much exactly. Like shot by shot. You can almost feel that camera zooming in as
it's so stuck in my head that I cannot even translate into words. It's weird. This book is weird, but it's weirdly good. You know,
that makes you want to jump into the book so much more. I wish I could tell people what happens, but it makes you want to jump in so much. But it's such a. Mm-hmm. I was even telling Alan, you guys released a trailer. I might cut this part out, but you guys released a trailer. I'm like, don't reveal that part. Like, that's cool.
But that's the wild part with Kickstarter, right? Yeah. Because, you know, there's stuff that we want to keep hidden, but we're trying to make a name, not for ourselves, because that's whatever. We want the project to eat before we do, right?
Yeah, so
we want people to know what this book is and what to expect, even if we have to give away a little bit. I mean, it's not obviously not all of it. Frank, you've had a chance to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, even in that trailer, because like that's where the book, I don't want to say it's not exciting up until that point, but that's where it's like, okay, these guys aren't messing around.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so awesome. And the big thing about the artwork and the style that Ruben chose for this, because Dave and I, we've talked about this a million times. It's funny because this is not a criticism at all. Ruben is a chameleon with his art. He could be on three books and I couldn't tell you it was the same person because he adapts so well to the story and pulls references and cares about what he's doing. But with this book, you know, purposefully wanted to make it feel like it was from that time period.
Yeah.
He wanted the flat colors. He wanted some of the, you know, shaky lines to go with it and some of the unfinished lines to do that and let the color show where the land separates and the buildings begin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, it was all intentional with that stuff.
And that carries over into the time change. When we're in Greece, we have random like yellow shafts mm-hmm. and pink shafts coming in that are almost just like, wow, this is just an artistic choice. I don't know what it does narratively, but I'm feeling it narratively, mm-hmm. which I think is more important, especially when talking about colors. And it's amazing how much the tone shifts for that Greece piece. And then when later on, when you get the surprise moment, you're like, oh, okay, it mm-hmm. all makes sense now. And it's a really nice choice.
Thank you.
Talking about the lettering again and how the design of the comic books go, Dave, where do you pull your influences from? We talked about Clive Owen and stuff like that for this book, but where do you pull your influences as a letterer from?
You know, I try to pull it from the art, honestly.
Okay.
You know, whatever I think fits the art and, you know, doesn't clash with, you know, whatever's going on the page and everything like that, because, you know, this isn't a book that, like, you know, even before Ruben was just, you cracked the whip and said, you know, you letter it this way, there was no way I'm gonna like letter this like it's a Marvel comic or something like that, you know what I mean? Like that's not gonna flow, that's not gonna look right. But I'm a very big fan, if it works, especially with like the bold colors that he used on this, of like the outline-less balloons, like just like the clean and the white. And I think it just works really well with something like this.
When you do outline is less versus outline, is there a message you're trying to convey to the reader of like separate, or is it just convenience of color?
It's just more like convenience of color, because I mean, like, you know, what's interesting is like, there's not a lot of, I don't think there's like really a lot of white in the book. Is there, Ruben?
I don't think so. No, I don't think I've used pure whites. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot of bold colors, and it just like really works out, because like the only instance, like if there is like white where lettering has to go, then you just do it like a little bit of an off yellow, so it still shows up and you get that same effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going over the colors again, off of the lettering a little bit, just again, where it's like these like angular shafts in the shadows, not like it follows the shadow lines you'd expect, but just a boom, and it's just such a neat idea. It's really beautiful. This is obviously going to be on Kickstarter, and can you guys tell us a little bit about what your guys' strategy is for Kickstarter, how you're going to change this campaign, or how this campaign is going to be unique from others?
The thing we always try to do, and, you know, Frank, I've been on here, what, like 11 times now? So the thing that we're trying to do with this one is the same thing we do with all of them. We just want to make it as simple as possible. And you know exactly what you're getting.
Okay.
And pretty much like we want to let the book speak for itself, right? You know, of course there's variant covers, and I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a second. But the other thing that's unique about this campaign, you're not gonna believe this. The book's done. So
that's nice.
When the campaign's over and, you know, the funds hit and everyone's already filled out their survey and we know exactly how many, you know, of each to order, you guys will get it very soon, which is awesome.
That is so relieving, because I can't tell you how many times where I get a random comic book in the mail and I'm like, oh, that's right. I forgot to back this thing a while ago. Yeah.
Yep.
That's great. Okay. And how are the rewards, and we'll talk about the covers in this as well, in the theme of this Western supernatural, and you have some beautiful covers to this too that feel very unique and different.
Yeah, dude. So obviously we wanted to pick artists that we thought would be able to deliver a good punch and a unique punch too, because obviously we want the covers to be able to stand on their own. But with this, again, we wanted this campaign to be nice, clean, and simple. So, you know, of course we're going to have stretch goals. We will reveal those as we go. But for the day one backers, Dave designed this beautiful, you know, the playing card for it. And that was awesome. The other thing, and Ruben's lending his skills to this, you get to be drawn as an outlaw and have a 4x6 print of you, and you get to see my stupid face on the Kickstarter campaign that Ruben decided to draw. So, you know, like I said, it's just fun. It's easy. We're not trying to bog it down with so much extra stuff. We just want this thing just to really celebrate the book. And this is, you know, like I said, I've worked with Ruben before, but it's just been from a cover standpoint and from a singular 8-page one-off story that was involved with another book. This mm-hmm. is the first time that it's Ruben, myself, and Dave. It's all three of us really like coming together, and we're just kind of celebrating what we've accomplished together as a first-time creative team all together doing this. Yeah. Because, you know, obviously without Ruben reaching out to me and Dave, and then without me bouncing ideas off Ruben and Dave, and without Dave telling us that, you know, Alan, Ruben, you guys are stupid, this isn't going to work, you guys need to change it to this. Like, it's like everyone just kind of had an yes. equal piece of the pie to, and yes. we all want this book to be as good as it can be.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes.
And it feels very like the teamwork came together. It feels very mm-hmm. cohesive and everything like that. And Ruben, on your cover A, by the way, all the covers look amazing, but cover A is just beautiful. I mean, that's,
thank you.
Frame worthy, yep. honestly, with the birds coming up. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. That cover's awesome. Yeah. When Ruben sent that to me,
that's crazy. And I like how I go, like, oh, that's Brian's. You can spell Brian's.
I was going to make a joke about it. I was like, could you, without looking at the name, could you tell who cover C is?
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Okay. This is amazing, guys. I really appreciate you guys coming on talking about the Herald. Where do we want to see the Herald going forward? Do we have multiple books planned for this?
Ruben, go for it.
Okay, so we do have 5 chapters in total. So that's pretty much the whole thing. So depending on how well this Kickstarter goes, we will release it by chapters, and then in the end we will obviously compile everything together, or we will just release everything together so people can read the whole book at once.
Yep.
Really depends on how well the Kickstarter does, really.
I think it's going to go quite well. I think it's going to go really well, if I'm being honest with you. That's amazing. Okay, so you guys want to get in on this adventure with this team right here. The Herald, it's beautiful. I'm going to make sure to link to everything in the description, including all your guys' socials. I want you guys to at least go and get in there. I'm going to try to put this up before you guys even publish, so you guys get the notify page, and you guys can see these beautiful colors right off the bat, and get involved in this as well. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, Frank, thanks so much for having us, like always, man. Even though
thank you.
Yeah, you could pick any creators to have on here, but you chose us. You exactly. damned fool.
I've got another interview today, and I'm like, I got to make sure to get Alan and his latest book adventure in. So.
Well, we'll be back for Grandma Chainsaw 4, the finale. So.
Oh, boy. That's who knows how that's going to end. That story has very much been different than page one. I'm just going to read this like Chainsaw Massacre ripoff or whatever. Like I'm down for this. And you're like, no, that's not what's happening right now.
Yep. Yeah, man. I can't wait for you to see what we've been cooking up an issue for, man. It's really it's nuts. So.
That's fun. All right, guys. So we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
See you.
Thank you. Yeah.